Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
All right, it's today's Christian Hits, KWOF. Oh, hold on a second. Hey, we're going back some time with that one. This is not today's Christian Hits. Dakota Motor Company is not on the way, nor Jennifer Knapp.
How would you even remember that band?
It came up in my YouTube feed, of all things. I sometimes will go back and I'll listen to some CCM, Contemporary Christian Music, from the 90s, because that's kind of... In the 90s and early 2000s is when you and I, by the way, I'm Joel Brzezicki with Mike Kapler, two former radio guys. We were on a radio station, a Christian radio station, KWOF in Waterloo, Iowa. And yeah, we played these bands like Dakota Motor Company, Jennifer Knapp, DeGarmo and Key. And I was just going to say, and coming up, Rich Mullins with Screen Door. Remember that one?
Yeah, that was not a bathroom song. That was only about a minute and a half.
Oh, yeah, a bathroom song. That was Shut D Doe, the live version.
These days, you know, everything's computerized, so you can walk away from the computer and go do things for a few songs.
Right.
Back then, you know, for a while, we were spinning albums or eventually CDs, and you had two CD players or two turntables. And so you had to be there to make the changes. So, full disclosure, sometimes you needed a longer song.
Yeah, my go-to was Randy Stonehill, Shut De Doe. The live version was like 11 minutes.
Yeah, Shut De Doe, Keep Out the Devil.
Yeah, Shut De Doe.
Yeah, the live version, yeah. Devil.
Hey, by the way, you know, so we were on, the station was, the call letters were KWOF. Did you know that there is currently a station that has those call letters, the KWOF.
I am not, but yeah, once they became available, somebody could take them.
Yeah, and guess what format? It's not a Christian. It's classic.
Format, talk radio.
It's might as well just be, it's classic country.
Oh, yeah.
There might be a few classic country tunes that I like, but anyway, it's yeah, in
if we were playing Trivia Pursuit or something, I'm out.
Yeah, I had two different people in my life at different times that were into country music, and so I listened to a little bit then, and there were some of it grew on me, and other than that, it's not been something that has been my favorite. So anyway, Screen Door by Rich Mullins. Remember that one? Y'all mentioned that. Faith Without Works. It's about as useless as a screen door on the summer.
It just hit me when you said that. So what some of the lyrics were. Yeah. You and I probably wouldn't be able to play that one anymore.
No, we wouldn't. But that's really not what we're going to talk about today. But who knows? We
Yay!
Might get into some of that.
The crowd goes wild. All right, Joel, let me get to my Holly Bibble here.
Holly Bibble.
I have a confession to make. I haven't held a Holly Bibble for a long time. I'm doing everything on my phone, or if I'm sitting down at a computer, I'm looking everything up online with my bookmarked Bible sites. You know, concordance, all that stuff. I can't remember the last time I picked up a Bible.
Well, you know, it's the same for me. And like you said, I when I'm looking at the Bible, pretty much every day I look at something, but it's always on the computer or on my phone. I have this, I don't know what you call it, an entertainment center that I use as sometimes it's a book stand. It used to sit right behind me, and I had two Bibles that I really liked. One was a New King James, and one was a King James that had a certain commentary that I liked. And about 3-4 weeks ago, I moved my office around, And I looked at those. I thought, man, I have not touched them. I used to love those. I would go through those all the time, and I have not touched them in years. And they were kind of dusty. And but anyway, like you say, it's all online and on digital format these days.
Yeah, and I think my approach to even looking inside of the Bible is so different now compared to the older days, even in my early grace days. It's just different, and it's so much more enjoyable without getting into all of that. But mm-hmm. Joel, I found this email from somebody that was from like 5 years ago. I was looking for some other stuff, and I just came across it. And so he writes something pretty short here. He'd asked some other questions of us. And then you asked if I could reply to this one, because he's talking about something that was predominant in my book, Clash of the Covenants. But he says this: Mike and Joel, I am sitting in church listening to, so I guess he's emailing while he's in church. I am sitting in church listening to a sermon on tithing. An endurance test, believe me. My pastor says that the Sermon on the Mount is for us because in Matthew 28, Jesus gives the Great Commission where he says, and teach them everything I have commanded you. And then he goes on to say this, meaning all he taught them was to be preached, Sermon on the Mount included. What's your take on this? Because mixing the covenants seems to be part of the deal. Still enjoying the weekly podcast. So he's talking about a pastor here who believes that the Sermon on the Mount is like a new Christian teaching. We talked a lot about this. We aren't going to necessarily go into a whole series or anything on this, but we thought some things could be brought out on it. So Joel, with that in mind, let me open my Bible to Matthew 28. Jesus said, verse 19, the last two verses in the chapter, in the book for that matter, I guess, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And so this pastor, for example, thinks that because Jesus said that, that we should be teaching everything that he taught or everything that he instructed or everything that he commanded. And that would include the Sermon on the Mount, new Christian teaching. We should apply it. We should try to follow it. We should try to abide by it. You know, it's a funny thing. As I stare at this verse, teach them to observe everything that I commanded you. It's almost sometimes, Joel, like Bible verses are like, it's a form of hypnotism. People get mesmerized. I'm not trying to go down another religious road here, but people get mesmerized by them, right? I mean, they just stare here. Here's the pastor waving a Bible verse instead of a watch or whatever. Look at the verse. You will believe everything I am telling you about it. And then we just somehow carry that into everything that we think. This verse, this island with an entire ocean of verses surrounding us, we carry that into wrong thinking. It's so easy to do, I understand, but this is why we keep harping on this. Just staring at verses is not necessarily going to get you to where you want to go, right?
Yeah, and I think so much of this comes from, I think this is probably one of the biggest things that keeps people from understanding the new covenant and people from understanding what life in Christ is really about and what we're, quote, supposed to do, you know, how we're to live in this life. And it's the misunderstanding and not understanding the two major covenants in the Bible, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and the fact that Jesus came as a Jew. He was born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. So Jesus had a ministry. Like when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a big chunk of that is the ministry of Jesus to the people of Israel, and it's not a Christian ministry. He's not teaching Christian things. Well, Jesus said it, though. But Jesus said it, and Jesus is our Savior. And we follow Jesus. You know, that's what a lot of people think. And so if you just have that mindset and you just look at, again, the verses, the things that Jesus said, without keeping in mind, without having in mind that Jesus was ministering to Jewish people who were under the law for the reason that the law was given. And so that's another one. A lot of people don't realize, do not understand this covenant that God had with the people of Israel, the laws that were contained within that covenant. It was 613 commandments, but God called it one law. And the people of Israel themselves really didn't understand it. They were seeking to be righteous by this law. And Jesus came showing them, really, I mean, if you look at so many of the things that Jesus said, basically it boils down to, you're trying to be righteous by this thing, but look, here's what the law really says. Here's what it really means. And his point to them, you're really not doing what you think it is. And that was a big chunk of Jesus' ministry leading up to the cross, because he came to, we've talked about it the last few weeks here on the podcast, Jesus came to fulfill that law. And he couldn't have redeemed the people from the law if he hadn't fulfilled it. And so that's what he had to do. So much of what Jesus said was not Christian teaching. And a lot of people, I think, just don't understand that. And so that's a big thing that we need to clear up. And so then, with that in mind, when you go and read the different things that Jesus said, that he taught, and you read where he instructed his disciples at that time to go and teach everything that I have taught you, we understand that, again, that was a Jewish ministry. He was instructing his Jewish disciples not to teach Christians these things, but certain things that he had taught them that had to do with the law, that had to do with that covenant, because that covenant had a purpose, and it was to lead up to the new covenant. And people had to understand that old covenant before they could really understand the new one. At least a lot of the Jewish people, they needed to understand the differences. And today, it's just the same. A lot of people don't understand the differences. And so that's a big chunk of what Jesus was doing. And it's hard for some people to take, but it just wasn't for us. Cap, just before we were talking here, you brought up what Jesus said in Matthew 10:5. And this is just one example. So if we are to follow what Jesus said, what he instructed his disciples in Matthew 10:5, he was sending them out, and he said, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter a city of the Samaritans. So are we today not to go in the way of the Gentiles, non-Jewish people? But Jesus said, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we can see right there, just one example of many, that Jesus had a specific ministry for those people at that time. Not everything that Jesus said was specifically just for them, but a big chunk of it was. And of course, the gospel is for Gentiles and Jews alike. So we don't have an instruction to not go in the way of the Gentiles. We're Gentiles. At least we were before we came to know Christ.
Hello.
So it's just kind of silly.
Yeah, the inconsistencies here, once they're brought to light, it's sort of like, oh, yeah, you know, you almost feel like you can feel a pastor blushing after you bring some of these things out. On top of that, Jesus said in Matthew 28, go to all the nations. I mean, that word nations, it really means outsiders, people in other nations, people who are maybe heathens, as they were considered mm-hmm. by the Jewish people under the law. So yeah, when he's saying something like, I'm sending you out, but don't go to the non-Jewish people, just go to the Jews. That's what he told them.
Right.
And so if you're going to follow that instruction, how's that going to work for us?
Right.
I mean, it just does, the math does not add up at all. On top of that, Joel, something else we talked about, you know, sometimes I think in the back of our minds, as we flip through the pages of the Bible, we don't really stop to think about it, but we don't know everything Jesus said to his disciples.
Right.
We probably have less than 1/100th of a percent, what 1/1000th of a percent, whatever. I mean, these guys were together over 3 years, And who knows what kinds of things were done and said that, that may or may not even had significant spiritual implications. So we don't know that. We have just a sort of a quick glimpse, you know, quick glimpse in what we see in the pages of the Bible with the red letters and so forth. But in, you know, in Matthew 5, when Jesus instructed his disciples not to break or relax even the very least of those 613 commandments, I can tell you this, I don't know a pastor in the world who is giving exhortation to his sheep to keep all of those commands, not even close, but rather a small fraction. But yet Jesus said, hey, don't ignore any of them. So if we really believe that Jesus was speaking instruction to us during the Sermon on the Mount, then we'd have to stop doing this Christian thing the way we're doing it and do it quite differently, because the way it's been done when it comes to the law and mixing it with the new covenant, it's a very selective approach that the church has been using. So, and when Jesus said that your righteousness will need to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, what does that mean?
How are we
we're Gentile people,
right?
We don't know what that means. They're going to have to do it better than the Pharisees, who were considered sort of the pinnacle of what righteousness could be with their godly ways, with the law and their knowledge of it, at least among the commoners, like his disciples. It was his disciples he was talking to here at the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, not necessarily a whole multitude filled with Jews and Gentiles and others. They separated themselves from those who were following, and they went up to the mountain, and Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he began to teach them. That's how Matthew 5 starts out, just a side note on that. Jesus said, don't call anybody a fool. Well, who hasn't done that? I mean, how many times have I called somebody an idiot who cut out in front of me in traffic or something? Who hasn't called somebody foolish? The Apostle Paul did in writing, in the scriptures. James did the same thing for a different audience. So imagine being in danger of calling somebody a dope while a guilty thief on a cross is let off the hook suddenly. So you see, something isn't adding up here with these instructions that Jesus is giving to Jewish people who are under the law. There was another purpose. There was another plan.
I think it's just so important for people to understand these things, to differentiate the words that Jesus was speaking to those who were under the law versus the words of the new covenant and the message of the new covenant. There's such a big difference. I think we've pointed out some of those things today, and there's a few more to bring out. So we'll talk more about this next week right here on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.